My name is John Bosnich. I'm a Serbian Canadian who grew up in the sort of heart of the American Empire, the Canadian economic colony of America, believing the basic Western mantra that we are the good guys and the rest of the world is evil, and that we have to civilize the rest of the world and bring them over to the West. As a young man, I was active in student politics, and in university, I started to discover how corrupt our Western system is. And then I left university in Canada after putting two police in prison in Montreal after I witnessed the case of police brutality. I had to leave North America because of threats from the police to kill me. I
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
then I went to Asia to let things calm down while the police were going into prison. And while I was in Asia, I made my way into the Himalayas, where I met two young men who had made $1 million or $2 in Japan, and they were leaving Japan. And they told me about their company in Japan, and they were angry that the Japanese were going to charge them $50,000 to shut down their company as a final tax for closing their company. And I said, "Guys, I'll buy your company from you for $1. And then nobody has to pay the closing fee." So I saved them $50,000 and I bought myself a company in Japan, and I became an advisor to the company presidents of the major companies in Japan, and I eventually became the advisor to the Japanese prime minister.
Wow.
And
Look, John,
yes.
you said you just dropped in there that Canada is a colony of the United States. Well, we've just had King Charles fly out very specially to open Parliament with your wonderful new Prime Minister, Mark Carney. I think King Charles would beg to differ that Canada is actually a colony of Britain, not America.
Well, it's actually a condominium. Canada is a political colony of England, so long as we have the Germanic English king ruling over us. And we are a joint colony of England and the United States because we share the longest unprotected border in the world between America and Canada. We have, through a process of osmosis, adopted McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Burger King, and all of the poisonous food imports from the United States. We've also absorbed the pharma mafia products of America. And of course, we signed the Auto Pact, which eliminated all Canadian-made automobiles and replaced them with American automobiles. We then became a branch of the United States with multinational corporations controlling as much as 87% of our economy from south of the border. Now, most Canadians are not told this because our media, with the exception of the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, our media is owned by private corporations, which are mainly invested in by American shareholders. So we have a media that sells us the American view of the world. And at the same time, we have a federal service like the BBC in our CBC, which is modeled after the BBC, which touts the government propaganda. Well, since the government of Canada has for literally generations been held by the Liberal Party, the Liberal Party is a globalist tag-along partner of America. When America invades other countries, we go tisk tisk. Although, of course, we bombed Syria and we took part in the slaughter of Gaddafi, and we took part in the invasion of Afghanistan, and we're taking part in the ethnic cleansing and genocide against ethnic Russians in Ukraine. So we are criminals in arms with America, but we pretend to be the peacekeepers and the innocent Canadians.
Well, look,
Our country,
sorry, can I just say Trump was talking about buying Canada, taking over Canada. Sounds like he doesn't really need to.
he doesn't need to at all. Trump knows that more than two-thirds of our economy, it used to be three-quarters, I think it is still three-quarters of our economy, is U.S. owned. We already are the 51st state. But we are, unlike all Americans, we are people who pay taxes to America but have zero representation. You remember the American cry, no taxation without representation? The Boston Tea Party, the American Revolution, they didn't want to pay taxes to England without having a vote in the English Parliament. Well, Canada is taxed and run by the United States. We buy all of our weapons system from America. We have F-18 Super Hornet aircraft. We have American-made weapons. We have American-made airplanes. We have American-made rockets. And we are forced to buy those because we're members of NORAD, the North American Air Defense Alliance, with America. And we are an American military colony because we have American soldiers who train in our country at our bases. The Americans use us as a buffer zone against the evil Soviets, but unfortunately for them, the evil Soviets don't exist anymore. So they have to make a new enemy, which is Russia, which has no interest in northern Canada. They haven't even colonized their own northern territories. So America frightens the Canadians by saying the evil Russians are coming. And when they say that the evil Russians are coming, they can then pressure our weak-kneed, spineless government to buy more American weapons. Now, in this context, we have our former primary colonial rulers, the genocidal English, who came here, raped and murdered all of the native Indians, as they called them. Then they raped and murdered the Acadians and expelled them. I come from the area of Eastern Canada that used to be called Acadie or Acadia. When the English took this territory over, they invaded the territory and they occupied it first. And then what they did is they ethnically cleansed the whole of Acadia, picked up the French. It was very easy to do. They paid the Indians a silver dollar each for every scalp that they would bring to the English. So you'd kill a Frenchman and bring his hair. You cut his head off. You bring the top of his hair, and you sell that to the English and you get a silver dollar. Then, of course, they immediately give you alcohol to get their silver dollar back. So they turned all of the Indians into drug addicts. Alcohol was the drug. They destroyed the Indians and they used the Indians to kill the French. They then took the French and mass expelled them. 80% of the population was put on boats and sent to Louisiana, which was still a French colony. And they went down to Louisiana and they brought their cuisine from this area of Eastern Canada, which is now the province of New Brunswick, the province of Nova Scotia, and the province of Prince Edward Island. These three provinces used to be called Acadie or Acadia in English. They went to Louisiana and they brought their food there. And the food was Acadien. Acadien is the French word for Acadian. Well, the Americans can't speak any other language. They don't even speak English properly, but in their version of English, they called it Cajun food. So if you go to New Orleans and they serve you Cajun food, it's not from New Orleans. It's from this area, which was ethnically cleansed of the French. Well, the French hid in the forest, and the northeastern one-third of my province is still majority French. I'm actually now on holiday in the French area of my province, and everybody I meet here still speaks French. But these people are the survivors. The rest were killed, raped, or forced out to Louisiana. That's the history of this region. Now, when they first took over, they called it all New Scotland. Why was that? Because the English were conducting an ethnic cleansing of Scotland. They were taking the Highlands over and forcing the Scots out and shipping them over here
Well,
to the
hang on,
new.
because this is, you're talking here about the Highland Clearances, aren't you? I mean,
Yes, they
this
had to
was
ship
a
them somewhere.
notorious episode in British
Yeah,
history
of course,
where
but they had to ship
I
them
think
somewhere.
it's John Preble that wrote the book on the Highland Clearances, but not long after the Second World War. And what was going on was the orders were out to literally burn people out of their homes, even if they were bedridden. They were sometimes burnt alive in their homes. Because the lairds had lost a lot of money in London and in gambling, and so the way to re re redemp redemnify their debts, and to pay back the money was to evict all of the people who were living on their lands, on their estates, and to turn it mostly over to grouse moors and sheep. And so they had to get rid of the people. And a lot of this was done out in the middle of nowhere where nobody was going to see. And so that was a horrific. And of course, they were offered jobs. They were told, well, you can go to the seaside and you can make a living out of gathering and selling seaweed. And then, of course, they realized that wasn't really much of a living, and many of them just got on the boats to go to North America.
Right. Well, it was basically starve to death or get on the boat. And those people were shipped off to an area that they had just taken over from the French and conducted a genocide. And so it was empty, largely empty for the few French that hid in the forests and survived. They named this area New Scotland or Nova Scotia. Well, that worked fine until the Americans had their revolution. And then the American Revolution happened, and the loyalists, these are the people who stayed loyal to the crown in America, the rich people who lived in New York, they ran north to Canada to find a place to stay. So if you run up the eastern seacoast of America, you come to the state of Maine, and after the state of Maine, to the east immediately, used to be New Scotland. Well, these people were Englishmen. They considered themselves to be Englishmen, not Americans. Even though they might have lived several generations in America, they were Englishmen who were colonizing America. So they didn't call themselves Americans. They were loyal to the crown. They arrived here and they looked around. And they said, "What's the name of this place?" And they said, "This place is called New Scotland." And they said, "We'll not live in a land named for the lowly Scots," quote unquote. So they petitioned London to change the name of the territory, and their petitions were rejected. So by the time George III, I believe, the crazy king, insane king, was in office, they found a formula that could work. Apparently, George III, like some other English kings, are bisexual, and he had some kind of a love affair with his brother. His brother's name was Frederick. So they said, "Well, what we'll do is, since they're all Germans, they can barely even speak English." I think George II, I'm not sure if it was third or second, couldn't even speak English. But these Germanic kings had a love affair with his brother, and he then got a petition from the loyal Englishmen who had come to the western part of New Scotland, and they said, "We're going to take this western part of New Scotland and we're going to name it Neue Braunschweig," because the family was the House of Brunswick, or in German, Braunschweig, and they had come to England and become the kings. So when they said to him, "We're going to name this province for your family house, your dynastic name," he thought, "Oh, that sounds good. And we're going to name the capital for your brother, your bisexual brother with whom you have sex. And so I live in the capital of Neue Braunschweig, which is now called New Brunswick. And the capital is Fredericton. Welcome to history."
You're also part Serbian, aren't you? And
Yes, I
so
am.
that's
My
the
father was Serbian,
okay.
and he was a supporter of the King of Serbia, who was betrayed by England. So I have double anger with the English. Our king, our
No.
king fled to England in April 1941 when the Nazis invaded. Our regent, his uncle, tried to sign a neutrality pact like Sweden and Switzerland. Be neutral and not join the war. But England needed somebody to divert the Nazis from attacking England. So instead of having the Nazis attack England, they thought, "Well, we'll make the Serbs fight them because they fought them for 4 years and beat them in World War I. So let's make the Serbs fight them." So the English secret agents penetrated the military of the Kingdom of Yugoslavia and they staged a coup d'etat. They arrested our prince regent, Prince Pavle, Prince Paul in English, and they took him to Kenya and they locked him up in a cage in Kenya. They then took his underage nephew, who was 17, and declared him the king. And then the King Peter, our last king, then announced that he was very concerned about the German factor in the region, and Hitler realized that the English were going to fight the Germans to the very last Serb. And so the Germans invaded, destroyed Yugoslavia, created a Nazi state in Slovenia because they welcomed them happily. They created a Nazi state in Croatia, the Croatian fascist Ustasha state that slaughtered 700,000 Serbs, civilians, another 30 to 50,000 Jews, and another 30 to 50,000 Roma,
Yeah,
or
but hang
as we
on,
used to
because
call them, gypsies.
when was this German invasion? 1941.
1941.
But that was a
And this,
strategically very important part of World War II, wasn't it? Because the
it
British and
was.
the Americans actually knew already that the Russians were planning Barbarossa and they were planning to invade Russia. But they knew that by forcing them to invade,
Divert.
divert them to invade Yugoslavia first, this would delay by maybe a couple of months the advance into Soviet Russia, and then they could get bogged down in the winter. So in a way, this diversion into Yugoslavia helped to win World War II.
Actually, not true. The war in Yugoslavia lasted 12 days. The Yugoslav government surrendered in 12 days. Hitler then redistributed his divisions and continued with the plans for Barbarossa. So the delay of 12 days to 30 days did not affect the war. The
Yeah,
plan.
I think it was at least 6 weeks that Barbarossa was delayed because of Yugoslavia.
They say that because they like to take credit for the success of the Russian people who stopped the Germans. The main reason why the Germans were stopped is because the Germans, being typical Germans, they were very, very technical, and they measured the temperatures for their tanks to move in the winter in Russia. So they measured the lowest temperature that had been recorded in Russia for 100 years back, and they mixed the solvent in the oil for their tanks to allow them to sustain movement during any temperature up to that temperature recorded for the past 100 years as the lowest temperature in Russia. Well, guess what? In winter of 1941, Russia was 4 degrees colder than it had ever been in the past 100 years, and the German tanks couldn't move, and their attack failed.
And so
So the Germans being
some still
technically
say,
correct.
some audaciously still say there is no God. Anyway, look, before we get too bogged down with the history of
Yeah,
Yugoslavia,
well said, Tony. Well said. Yes.
before we get too bogged down with Stalingrad, Yugoslavia, etc. Now
Right.
there has been an announcement this week from his lawyers,
Wait a
and
minute. Let's
it's
go
like.
back to Tampon Charlie here. Tony, let's go back to Tampon Charlie, as you call him, and I think it's a great name for him. As you probably know, our current prime minister is the former chief bankster, that's with a K, bankster in the world, because he became the governor of the Bank of England after first serving as the governor of Bank of Canada. So basically, our current prime minister is the Rothschilds bankster of the Bank of England, who was sent to Canada to run the Liberal Party, which is our traditional governing party. He was the man behind the throne, behind the actor, literally the actor, the drama student named Justin Trudeau. He ran our government. The man who is currently our prime minister, he was sent by the English deep state, that means your monarchy and your ruling class, to take over our country when the people turned against Trudeau. And what it was the best example of a political bait and switch in the history of Canada. Right up until the election, everybody thought they were voting against Justin Trudeau, who was a disaster. Then, when everybody knew the election was going to be a massacre, the Conservative opposition party was 30 points ahead in the polls. They baited us and they switched. And in shows this great Mark Carney, the man who saved Canada in the crisis of 2008 at the Central Bank of Canada, and the man who must be the greatest banker in the world because the English hired him. And that's our identity complex here in Canada, that if England says, oh, it must be great, he rolled in here and said, I'm going to defend Canada. I'm going to be true and strong Canada and Canada fort en français, in French. We're going to make a strong Canada. But Carney, our current prime minister, is the bankster's candidate. And not only is he the bankster's candidate, he is supported by the same Israel lobby that finances Trump. And he is sending weapons to Israel to slaughter the Palestinians today. This is what has happened here. Our country has been taken over by a bait and switch that allowed the Liberal Party to turn a 30-point lead for the Conservative opposition into a victory for the Liberal Party, keeping the Trudeau regime in power, less the figurehead fool, Justin Trudeau, keeping Canada in lockstep with the empire, and giving England prominence in Canada again for the wife-killing king who leads your country.
Right. Look, but I'm going to have to drag you back to Serbia, I'm afraid,
Drag me back anytime.
because the news is out this week about this chap called Ratko Mladic, who's serving life in prison for war crimes during the Yugoslav conflict, NATO battle with NATO, basically. So defense lawyers for Ratko Mladic, who's a Serbian general, who's serving a life sentence for genocide, remember that word, he is asked they have asked the Hague court for his release, saying he has been transferred to palliative care. His remaining life expectancy is now only measured in months. So this has hardly been reported. But this is Balkan Insight website has got this story, and the BBC very briefly mentioned it on the World Service. So
Well,
who is this
let me
guy?
interrupt
Who
you
is
there.
Ratko Mladic, please?
First of all, Balkan Insight is a NATO propaganda news outlet. So Balkan Insight mentions it. It's because they're trying to do preemptive damage control.
Yeah, so it hasn't really
Ratko
been
Mladic.
reported, even though he's an extremely important world figure. That's I mean, so maybe you could just say something about who he is and whether you think he should have been. I mean, is this a correct conviction
Why don't
or
we
not?
talk about who Ratko Mladic is?
Yeah.
Ratko Mladic was a he was a colonel. First, he started as a major. I mean, in the time that I knew of him, then he became a colonel, and then he was elevated to general. He was a colonel, and I believe even a major in the Yugoslav Communist Army when Yugoslavia was still a communist country. After the Communist Party was disbanded and replaced by the Socialist Party of Serbia, led by Slobodan Milosevic, who closed down the one-party state and brought the first democratic elections since World War II, after he came to power, he asked Ratko Mladic, who was the general recruited by the Bosnian Serbs, to stop a planned Croat and Muslim genocide of the Serbs. In World War II, the Croats and Muslims worked together to slaughter 700,000 Serbs, mostly civilians. Now, in the renewed war in Yugoslavia in the 1990s, the Croats showed up with SS uniforms and swastikas again, just like in World War II, just like the neo-Nazis that we've seen popping up in Ukraine, identical. They started slaughtering Serbs, and the Serbs ran and asked for help from the Yugoslav army. The Yugoslav army dismissed Ratko Mladic from the Yugoslav army and let him be transferred to the new Serbian part of Bosnia, which had declared independence. They made him the commander-in-chief of their army and said, please save us because we're outnumbered 2-1 by the Muslims and the Croats. We're only 33% of the population, or 36% of the population. How can we survive? So Ratko Mladic turned out to be the greatest tactical general in the Western world since Rommel. Ratko Mladic made a 15,000-man intervention force, which defeated a 90,000-man Muslim Croat army. The Muslim Croat forces outnumbered the Serb forces 4-1. Ratko Mladic realized that if he could get military that was mobile on motorcycles, trucks, and high-speed tanks, he could fight four battles simultaneously and defeat the Croats and the Muslims, who outnumbered him by 2 and 4-1 on some battlefields, by delivering all of his killing power to one spot at the same time. So Ratko Mladic became a hero among all Serbs, with me too. I couldn't believe it. I've studied history. I've studied Julius Caesar. I studied Napoleon. I studied Rommel. I'm a political science graduate and a history graduate. And these generals had much better possibilities of winning than Ratko Mladic did. And he beat them everywhere. He beat every other army that fought against him, and he was fighting several.
Your national hero, I'm afraid, is a war criminal in jail.
Sure. Anybody who supports the Serbs is a war criminal. That's the way it goes. If you lose a war, all your leadership goes to a war crimes trial, and they try to continue this. Everybody against us is Adolf Hitler. That's the Western thing. Saddam was Hitler. Putin was Hitler, Milosevic was Hitler, Mladic was Hitler, Radovan Karadzic, the president of the Serb Republic in Bosnia, he was Hitler, and anybody who fights NATO is Hitler. But we don't want to say that NATO is a copy of Hitler's European military organization. We never can allow the use of the phrase that I use all the time, NATO Nazis. NATO
I
is
can remember actually in Greece seeing graffiti all over the place saying NATO equals Nazi.
Of course it is. In fact, if you take the NATO symbol and you shine a light on it from the side and make a shadow fall, it makes a swastika. Try it. You'll like it. This is what NATO is. NATO attempted to take over and succeeded in taking over the same Eastern European territories that Hitler took over for the purposes of destroying Russia. Who is behind this? Well, the main inspiration is England, and not England the people, not you, Tony, not the normal English person, and certainly not the Celtic people of the British Isles, but the Anglo-Saxon Germanic invaders who control your country, even though they're a minority of the population. Those are the Germans. Your king is a German, and your country supported Adolf Hitler when he was going to attack the evil Slavic Russians. Henry Ford supported.
No, we were on Russia's side in World War II. What are you talking about?
No, we're talking about before World War II. There was an English prime minister, Lloyd George, traveled to Germany, met Hitler, and said, if we had 1,000 men in England like Adolf Hitler, England would rule the world again. This is your prime minister. It was before Chamberlain. So he came to Germany and he made an announcement, and it was carried on the BBC, that if England had 1,000 men like Hitler, England would rule the world again, quote unquote. That's an English prime minister. England provided weapons to Hitler to move against Russia. It was only when they realized that Hitler was going to attack England as well that they defended Russia. England has been the sea power. Russia has been the land power. The English have always wanted to destroy the Russian land power. So here's a fellow German, Adolf Hitler, is going to attack the Slavic barbarian subhumans. That's not my wording. I'm a Slav. That's Hitler's word. Untermensch. Subhuman. Subman. So this was what he wanted. But when they realized suddenly that, oh, Hitler's not going to kill the Russian subhumans in terms of military strategy, he was doomed. Because the English then used their leverage with the Americans to get the Americans to become the arsenal of democracy and to send the Ford trucks and the tanks and all the equipment to the Russians that they needed. And also we had a Serbian he was actually a Yugoslav communist spy who intercepted communications from Japan and could confirm that Japan was not going to attack. Japan was the Nazi German ally, was not going to attack the Siberia from the east. As soon as that was found out, as soon as that spy reported that Russia did not have to defend against Japan, the Soviet Union, sorry, not Russia, the Soviet Union transferred all of their armaments and their weapons and their manpower to the West, and that's what allowed them to defeat Hitler. It's not because we had a 12-day war in Yugoslavia, but that's what Western history tells you, that we diverted the Germans to Yugoslavia, and because of the 12 days that they spent in Yugoslavia, they lost Operation Barbarossa. No, they lost Operation Barbarossa because a Yugoslav spy in Japan found out that the Japanese were not going to attack Eastern Soviet Union, and therefore the Soviet army could move at least one-third more men to the west and stop the Germans.
The last couple of weeks' events
Yes.
in with Ukraine and Russia, some very serious things have happened. Two lines have been crossed by the Ukrainians, both of which appear to really need MI6's help or another intelligence service from the NATO countries' help, because the
The
Ukrainians are pretty much on their knees now. They
Ukrainians
cannot
can't
really
even.
put much of an army in the field. So the
No.
first event was the assassination attempt against Vladimir Putin. Apparently, his helicopter in Kursk had a whole load of drones attack it, Ukrainian drones with some sort of assistance. And then we had this week the attack on the nuclear bombers. Now, I know as part of the treaties, the idea is that those bombers have got to be left so that they can be seen by satellites, observed by satellites, and so it looks as if by sticking them in bunkers, which is what you're supposed to do with nuclear bombers, the Russians had him deliberately out in the open just so
They
that
have to
this
be
would
because they've
help
signed
with
the
the whole
treaty.
peace process. So can you just
Of course.
take us through that
Oh,
that
okay. So.
and then let's look at the implications, because both of these things cross the nuclear threshold for the Russians. The Russians,
Right.
within their own military doctrine, are quite within their rights to use nuclear weapons in response
Yes,
to both these.
yes. The Ukrainian military is nothing but a sock puppet operated by the UK and to a lesser degree, the United States. They can't even operate the HIMARS. Remember the HIMARS weapons were going to be sent over, these super powerful howitzers that are going to win the war? Well, those HIMARS have all been destroyed, and they couldn't operate them. So it was Americans of ethnic Ukrainian origin who were seconded by the US Army to put on Ukrainian uniforms and pretend to be Ukrainian soldiers operating the HIMARS. Don't worry, the Russians destroyed every single one of those HIMAR guns. That's over. And of course, it's forgotten because it was the big victory program. And when it fails, nobody wants to talk about it. The lying mainstream media hides that. That's number one. Number two, this subtle drones flying out of flatbed trucks and out of containers, this was a UK project run by UK intelligence services using the proxy of the Ukrainians.
So
This is the
what
same.
evidence do you have for that?
Because we've got people on the ground who are saying that these drone parts, the parts of the drones, are drones that are typically seconded from England. These are not American drones. These are not drones that are obtained from Iran. These are not drones obtained from China. These are drones that have signature English profile. Now, I'm going to wait until I get the full data, but I fully believe this because I consider, as a pro-Russian fellow Slav, I consider the English the perpetrators of the entire operation in Ukraine, the Maidan, the entire coup d'etat that overthrew the Russian Yanukovych, the pro-Russian
Hang on,
Yanukovych
that I
president.
mean, Victoria Nuland, the CIA, the State Department have admitted to that.
These are, they admitted doing what they were told. Americans don't speak any other languages. Victoria Nuland, of course, speaks Ukrainian because she's Ukrainian. The other woman who was behind this, who was involved in this, was a Chrystia Freeland. Who's Chrystia Freeland? She was the former foreign minister of Canada, whose grandfather was a Ukrainian Nazi in World War II. Not a Ukrainian neo-Nazi, a Ukrainian Nazi uniform-wearing publicist for a propaganda anti-Jewish pro-Holocaust newspaper. That's our former foreign minister of Canada. She ran against Carney for the leadership, but the powers that be in London said, look, we can't pull this off. We can't bring the granddaughter of a Nazi propagandist into power in Canada. We're just going to have to send the Rothschilds' chief bankster to run Canada for us. Then we can pretend to defend Canada against evil Trump because Trump is not in lockstep for our plan for World War III.
They actually crossed the nuclear threshold, John, I think,
Yes, on purpose, on purpose, on
earlier
purpose.
before this, because
Yes.
they earlier in the last, I think it was around about November 2024, they took out the some of the missile ballistic missile defense systems
Yes.
in Russia, which, you know, that's the sort of thing which, if you're going to launch a nuclear a massive nuclear attack on Russia, they would need those to see the missiles coming.
Yes.
Although some people have said they're actually quite old and maybe they have more modern ones. That's not the point. If you're trying to knock out somebody's nuclear defenses, this is not Ukraine doing this, is it? It's, you know, it's the Brits. Anyway, well, so what
Of
do you
course,
make of
it's the Brits.
these two incidents, particularly the alleged assassination attempt on Putin's helicopter in Kursk, and also this attack on these strategic bombers, many of them apparently being destroyed, although the Russians haven't confirmed how many.
Okay, so first of all, we know, and this is relatively secure information. I have it from three sources, one American, one French, and one German, not English, that the English organized, planned, and directed the Kursk intrusion by Ukrainian forces into Russian territory. So usually when I have three sources, I consider it relatively reliable information. So it was the UK military advisors who made the plans for the Kursk intrusion or invasion of Russia by Ukraine. And the reason they did that was to try and open a second front to take the pressure off the Ukrainian forces who are being beaten across the long front line with the Russian soldiers who have mostly taken over the overwhelmingly Russian populated sections of Ukraine, Donbas down through the area approaching Odessa. So this is the first information that I have. The secondary information is that the drone attacks on Russian aircraft that are potential nuclear weapons carrying aircraft was also coordinated by the UK because Trump would never authorize that operation. Trump would never authorize that operation when he's attempting to make a peace deal with Putin. So England is trying to force America into war, just like England tried to force Hitler into war against the Soviet Union. This is standard procedure. As I told you earlier in the first part of the interview, England was prepared to fight Hitler to the very last Serb. England is now prepared to fight Russia to the very last Ukrainian. These are all cannon fodder. Ukrainians are cannon fodder for the Anglo-imperialist program against the Slavs. And what better system to use to get rid of Slavs than have a fight that you provoke between Slavs? Because Russians and Ukrainians can understand each other. They speak two dialects of the same language. Their use of the basically, Russian language is closer than a Welshman speaking English to a Texan American. You'll have more correspondence between a Ukrainian talking to a Russian than you'll have between a Welshman speaking to a Texas American. So these are two brother nations. And we'll remember what Gandhi said. If you go out of the city and out of the town and out of the village and out of the hamlet, and you walk into the forest and you go down a trail that becomes so narrow that even a goat hasn't passed on it, and you come to a little river in which you see two brother fish fighting each other, you know one thing for sure: the English have been there. Divide and conquer.
Well,
That's
is it the really only the English? I thought that was the Romans' trick.
No, this is the Romans, and every empire uses this to crush the states on its periphery. English learned the divide and conquer from the Romans. They used it around the world. As I told you earlier, here in my native New Brunswick, what was used was the Indians, so-called Indians. They're not Indians at all. They're not from India, but the ignorant Western Europeans decided to call them Indians. But the Aboriginal peoples of this land were paid in silver by the English to kill the French. Once they killed the French, they were then sold alcohol to get the silver back. And they, our Aboriginal people have been destroyed by alcohol intentionally. So this is standard imperial policy. You
Now, look,
divide and
sorry, I'm
conquer
going
your
to
enemy.
back to Russia, back to Russia,
Yes,
because
let's go.
there is a sort of illogical side of this. Because
Yes.
if MI6 are behind this, which certainly seems plausible, if the Russians were to hit Britain, I mean, then I would assume that the Russians know who are behind it. They're not saying it, but then
Yes.
that's part of the normal way of behaving. So,
They certainly know the
Example, they don't
personal.
want to. Don't want to tell necessarily, what they know. They're trying to play their cards quite close to their chest. But the farcical thing here is that the United States is putting on pressure not to have this war with Russia, but the British seem to be putting the pressure on. But the thing is, the British nuclear deterrent is an American nuclear deterrent, and the
Right.
Americans can just switch it off anytime they want.
Exactly. Look, I'm expecting Putin, who is infinitely smarter than his opponents, infinitely smarter, not just because he is a genius. We've got Trump saying he's a very stable genius and so on, but Putin is a transcendent thinker, not because he himself makes decisions by himself, but because he listens to advice from many very intelligent people at the head of the Russian state. They have a response to what England has just done. And I say England because I don't blame the Scots, I don't blame the Welsh, I don't blame the Northern Irish, I blame the Angles, the Germanic Angles, for everything that we're experiencing now. So the English are attempting to provoke a response from Russia that will force America into the war. And we know that there are many versions, and I believe them, that the English had information about Pearl Harbor, but let the Japanese attack the Americans to stop America from being neutral in World War II.
Well, I think it's true. The Americans actually had information about Pearl Harbor too. It's
It
just that
may be
they
so.
yeah, they did. They used that information to move some of the latest ships out of Pearl Harbor before it was attacked.
Yes, the fact of the matter is that the American people don't like war. If you're familiar with American history, you might remember that George Washington. Oh, by the way, the quote from Lloyd George was that Adolf Hitler is the George Washington of Germany, quote unquote. That's the most important one. So, back to the issue here. George Washington left office after, I think, two terms. He was offered a third term and he said, I don't think we should have a third term or we'll have a monarchy here in America. So he wrote a document at which he gave as an address, and it's called George Washington's Farewell Address. And his warning and his guidance to the American people was not to become an empire, not to get involved in European colonialist wars, not to become a part of the Anglo-American empire which we live in today. This was the last advice of George Washington, and it was heeded by many Americans. But as World War I came on, we had the Lusitania, and America was drawn into World War I. We then had Pearl Harbor, and the American people were drawn into World War II. And we are now seeing England provoking the threat of a world war in its Kursk invasion to take the pressure off of their proxy Ukrainian neo-Nazis. Why do I say neo-Nazis? Why did I say earlier that Zelensky was intentionally picked because he purports to be Jewish? Because the English who run the proxy war in Ukraine knew that the hardest fighters against the Russians were fascist neo-Nazi Ukrainians who come from the far west of Ukraine in a region that used to be Poland, where they slaughtered the Poles and the Poles slaughtered them. 250,000 Poles were slaughtered by Ukraine at the end of World War II. So, knowing that these were the best fighters in Ukraine, the English intelligence services said, wow, we can't use guys who have got swastikas and SSs sewn into their skin in tattoos and get away with it. So, how are we going to cover this? Oh, great. Let's get a Jew. We'll get a Jew. He's an atheist, but he pretends to be a Jew. And we'll make him the president. And then anybody who accuses us of supporting neo-Nazis to fight the Russians, we'll just point at the Jewish president and say, that's impossible. He's a Jew. That's why Zelensky was selected. He is a puppet playing a script written in Hollywood for the Anglo-imperialistic venture of attacking Russia.
Maybe it was written in Pinewood Studios or Elstree
This is
Studios.
possible too. This is possible, but I do know from Ukrainian sources that the television series in which Zelensky was made to be a hero for the average Ukrainian TV watcher was written in America by Hollywood writers. I don't know if the idea, the concept, came from English intelligence, but it wouldn't be the first time
No, it
because we know
wouldn't.
that most of the Hawaii Five-O and the Mission Impossible, all of those movies are scripted by the CIA to justify their system of recruiting young people for CIA,
Well,
FBI, and so on.
that's that. But there's also the fact that it's a way of the moonlighting in a way. Some of the operations that they're involved in, they can see, hey, we can make a bit of money making some good films here, and also selling the West to the East.
And
But
yes,
look,
exactly.
let's get back to Putin, because this is so important. I mean, you're suggesting that Putin is just got to keep sucking these attacks up, and that he
Yes,
can't really
because
respond. Is
Putin,
that what you're saying?
because Putin is the number one anti-war leader in the world today, even more than Trump. Because Putin knows that if there is World War III, that most of the Russian population will die. And he actually likes his own people. This is unusual for most of the leaders in this
Well, yeah, I
world.
mean, in the West, we're not really used to that kind of thing. So,
Right.
I mean, this happened for a long time in Ukraine. The Russians were sucking it up, and eventually they decided to invade Ukraine. At what point do you think, what would it take the West to do to Russia? What sort of attack? Well, he would say, well, I'm afraid that's it. We're going to have to hit back now and hit back hard.
I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a ballistic missile fired out of Ukraine, and it's going to actually hit Moscow. And when a ballistic missile hits Moscow, not with a nuclear warhead, but with a conventional warhead, let's say it might hit the military headquarters, or it might hit the headquarters of Russian intelligence,
Or the yeah, or the foreign or the famous foreign ministry.
which are both, by the way, empty. Oh, there's nobody in there now. Okay, because they're anticipating this. I have friends who work there. There's nobody in there. So they are anticipating that strike, and that will be immediately responded to by an Oreshnik, Mach 11 or Mach 12 missile, which will either hit Berlin or hit Washington or hit London with no warhead. Understand? No warhead. Trump will be out in the Rose Garden and a missile will land without a warhead in Washington or in London, in the front lawn of Buckingham Palace, or in Hyde Park, or in Berlin in the Central Park, with no warhead. Just a missile that goes through all defenses and shows, had we wanted to exterminate you with a nuclear strike, you would all be dead now. And then peace talks will start. If Ukraine follows English orders to sacrifice their lives for England to fight the Russians. That's the scenario I foresee.
Well, fascinating. Anyway, John, whereabouts can listeners catch up with you, follow some of your work? Whereabouts do you put
It's
your
very diff it's
writing?
very difficult. I post on Facebook. I post once in a while on X, but basically I'm censored in the Western world. I was a reporter for CNN. I reported for CBC. That's our Canadian national broadcaster in the war in the former Yugoslavia. I was an announcer and television presenter in Japan for Radio Japan World Service. I've been featured on many MSNBC and so on. I am totally banned from all Western media, period. After that, I was on RT, Russia Today, maybe 50 or 100 times. Then I appeared on Chinese media, and now I'm most frequently seen on Iranian press TV. Why? Because if you say things which are not consistent with the globalist warmonger lie, you will be censored. There is no free speech in the West. If you think there's free speech, you don't understand how democracy, so-called democracy, works. We live in a so-called parliamentary democracy. I translate that into meaningful English as parliamentary dictatorship. Whichever party has a majority in parliament can do anything they want. There's no petition, there's no referenda, there is no recall. It is a total dictatorship, and it's called parliamentary democracy.
Okay, John Bosnich, if you could just spell your name.
Bosnitch, which is the English transliteration of Bosnic with a little accent, which is the Serbian original of our old noble family, which used to be a princely family in the Serbian territory called Bosnia.
Finally, and I shouldn't really ask you a final question because I've almost just about said goodbye to you, but I wonder to what extent the fact that the Serbia is still primarily an Orthodox country, what does you do you think that, and of course Russia is Orthodox, do you think this has really made any difference in why the West is gunning for Serbia so much, and why have that the Serbs have decided they don't really want to be part of the EU or NATO?
Because the forces which are opposed to us include the Anglo-imperialist, that's England, the English, the Angles, the Germans themselves, because they want to control all of Europe, and we Serbs have stopped them in two world wars, and we're ready to stop them again. And most importantly, behind the Angles and their German war mongers, there are the Americans who consider themselves to be the students of the English. They sent people on Rhodes Scholarship to learn how to be racist imperialists at Oxford and Cambridge. They are backed up by the Americans, and more importantly, they're backed up by the Vatican, because the Vatican hates orthodoxy. Orthodoxy does not recognize the primacy of one human being as the representative of God on earth. It recognizes a synod of equals of all the patriarchs and popes. This is the main split in Christianity. And if the Vatican can win a war in Ukraine, we would see the Catholic Western part of Ukraine, which is the place where the neo-Nazis are coming from, which used to be part of Poland, we will see the Catholics moving east in Ukraine, attempting to change the Orthodox Ukrainians into Catholics using their hatred, which has been produced by the lying mainstream media, the hatred of their own brother Russians, as the lever to drive Catholicism into Eastern Europe and further into Asia. These are the background fundamentals of the war that we're seeing now.
Well, that's fascinating, because this goes back a long time to the 4th century, with the conversion of Constantine, the Roman Emperor, creating the Roman Church, and then also the Great Schism of the 12th century, which is where
Correct.
the Orthodox Church and the Roman Church split, in fact went to war as Rome tried to destroy Constantinople. So this goes back a long
Exactly.
way,
They
John.
not
This
only
goes back a
they
long
not
way.
only tried they not only tried to destroy Constantinople. I believe it was the Fourth Crusade, I'm not sure. The crusade was diverted, and the crusaders who were received as guests in the capital of the existing Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire was gone in Italy, and the Roman Empire now was centered in Constantinople, the Crusaders were received as guests inside the impregnable fortress walls of Constantinople, where they went on a marauding attack, killed the ruling class of Constantinople, raped every woman in Constantinople. Think about that. The Crusaders, who were defending Christ, went to Constantinople and raped every woman from the age of 5 to 85. They raped them all. And then they imposed a fake Catholic leader in Constantinople and attempted to force convert the people to Catholicism. And it took them about 100 years to drive these people out and reestablish Orthodoxy and the Roman Empire again, the real Roman Empire. And by that time, they had been so weakened that the Turks, who were attacked as the Ottomans, were able to destroy Constantinople because it never recovered from the knife in the back that they got from the Vatican.
So that's a struggle from early medieval time right the way up till today. Anyway,
And unchanged.
John, that's absolutely fascinating to think that of this Vatican Orthodoxy line still dividing the east of Europe. Thanks ever so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure once again. I'd love to talk to you anytime you call. Thank you, Tony.